Sorry about that. See that freshen up. How are you?
Hey,
you are?
I'm Tessie. I'm the nurse manager.
Tessie, what's your last name? Omek.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to go in here and here?
Wherever is comfortable for you guys.
Come here. Please sit. Until the doctor comes in here.
Where would you like me?
Here.
Am I okay here?
It's fine. Yeah, we're good.
Oh.
There we go.
You should just get started.
No.
You
no.
Done?
You know, I work every weekend, and then I'm hitting this during the week. And
you didn't get called in for this, did you?
No. I was here today.
Okay.
I had a little one had a scope this morning, and so I've kind of been a couple. So.
Cassandra, I didn't get your last name.
Mau. M-O-U-G-H.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Fine. I've been more tired than this, so I'm good.
Okay.
Just care about my mom is all.
Makes sense.
So. Okay, where should we begin?
I'm really concerned about neurotrauma most. So
I'm sorry, is it Tessie or Tessa?
Tessie is fine.
Okay, so it's Tessie Bowmaker, correct? Okay.
Yeah.
Because there seemed to be another Tessa, I think, that someone, my sister may have spoke with. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
She's a charge.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, you're fine. I just want to make sure that your experience down in neurotrauma was addressed to your liking. Because Shannon kind of told me that maybe you still had some concerns with neurotrauma, so I want to make sure those are addressed.
You want to make sure that my concerns with neurotrauma were addressed?
Yes.
Are or were addressed?
Which
are.
Been,
okay.
Yes.
So that's a difficult thing for me to acknowledge affirmatively, simply because I feel like my issues were initially brought to the attention. Cassandra, you and I had that conversation in a fair amount of detail. So would it maybe help a little bit if I perhaps kind of started from my initial experience and worked my way through it? I think it'd be easier for me. To the best of my recollection, the majority of my concerns started when when she was in charge of my mother's care.
Mm-hmm.
I had some experience with some nurses prior to Johnita. I got a chance to become familiar with kind of how they operate and what I anticipated to be kind of the procedure, etc. When I experienced Johnita, it was a night and day difference. The amount of attention to maybe it was a small detail or maybe it was something that was regularly occurring with prior nurses that did not exist with her. And so I was instantly able to tell that she seemed a little bit more laid back and, quite honestly, apparently lazy. Had not near as much care or concern to be overseeing my mother. And when I say overseeing, I don't mean simply by reading these charts that are on the computer monitors. I mean physically being in the room. So, with what limited understanding I have of how things operate down there, I got somewhat familiar by the prior nurses and their procedures and how they handled it, and Johnita was different. She was not near as attentive, seemed a little bit more, well, I've already started this, lazy. So, I understand I'm a family member's patient, or a family member of a patient. I understand that our emotions can run high, that we don't obviously have the knowledge, the schooling, the training that professionals here would hold. But it is easy to determine whether or not my mother is in discomfort or needs something addressed based on what time I've spent with her since she's been here. I brought some information to Johnita's attention that my mother needed addressed. As I was doing that, I could see that she was playing on Facebook on her phone, watching some videos. I thought, well, that's great. She's got time to sit down here, watch these videos, but yet she doesn't have the extra energy, nor apparent does she have the care to get up and go simply walk into the room, which was, what, 20 feet away at best?
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of frustrated me, and she was a little slow to respond to get up, but she did, and she went in and addressed whatever that issue was at the time. Later on, my mother had another issue that needed addressed. And when I say these issues, I'm talking about things that aren't necessarily present on the monitor. She coughed up a lot, had a lot of stuff occurring in her throat. She needed to clear it out. And I understand that it's been explained to me that sometimes you can acknowledge pain by heart rate, et cetera. But I don't know how well they are at monitoring whether or not someone's back is cramping or whether they need turned or whether they're uncomfortable. It would make sense to me logically that that's something that doesn't present itself near as efficiently on the computer screen as it would right there via the patient. So I needed something for my mom addressed. I went back to her and said, hey, what are you doing? So my mom needs this because, oh, I'm just reading an article that my sister sent me. It was a political post on Trump. And so I'm like, okay, that's it. I made up my mind right then and there that I did not want her access, having any more access to my mother. Here I am in the ICU, assuming that this is a critical place, that with the understanding, in most cases, apparently, nurses have only 1 to 2 patients, in some cases only one if they're extremely critical. I thought, how hard can it be to simply get off your tail end when you're 20 feet away at best to just go peek in the room and look at someone? Which only really seemed to happen with her when, in fact, she was scheduled to do something perhaps on what I would define as a round. I don't know if that's accurate terminology here or not. Perhaps something on a work order. Does that sound somewhat accurate?
A task list.
Pardon me?
A task,
okay.
Something that, yeah.
So I understand that these nurses do these tasks, and I understand that they also chart, et cetera. But she has time to play on Facebook. She has time to read posts and articles, et cetera, and not pay any visual attention to my mother, other than what she may or may not get notified via an alarm sounding off on this computer. So at that point, I said, okay, that's not going to fly for me. You know, and as a family member, I can only, you know, I can do the best that I can with what limited understanding of how things work in this medical environment. And what I come to realize really quick is the only thing I can truly focus on is alarms that may or may not be going off, and I can also focus on my mom's comfort to ensure that that's managed to the best of my ability. That means that I'll more than likely need to entrust the help or assistance of a nurse or someone else that's able to do so. And with those two things happening in her time of need, had it not been for myself being in there, she would have suffered through a period of who knows how long before that was truly addressed. So at that moment, I knew that I was not going to leave her side during any available time that I had access to her. The very next night, I had Holly. And I'll come back to Holly here in a minute, but I'll just say, from out of all the nurses that we've had, she is outstanding, amazing, terrific. You'd be so lucky to have 2 of her, let alone 6 to 100 of her, because she's that amazing. So Holly and her professionalism was very kind. I think it was, perhaps maybe I dealt with Holly before Johnita. But regardless, Holly let me know the first night that, you know, I need to come in there sparingly between the hours of 10 and 6. You know, maybe 20 minutes at best every hour. I said, okay, so I respected that. So it must have been Holly first, and then Johnita must have followed her the next couple of nights. So I experienced Holly first, and then I experienced Johnita. Well, Johnny shifts over. She goes back to Arkansas. And then Holly comes in. And Holly, again, addressed the fact that, you know, from 10 to 6, we need to limit our tire. I said, no, that's just not going to be acceptable. Now, I trusted Holly, but it didn't matter. I trust her, but I'm not going to let anybody out. My eyes are going to be on my mom like a hawk the whole time that I have the capacity and ability to do so. So that's what I chose to do. Through her chain of command, she got that approved, and it was good to go. And so I stayed out of everyone's way the entire time and acknowledged anytime something needed to be addressed with my mother. And everybody was great about that. I can't say enough about Holly. Absolutely outstanding, terrific. The night rolled into the next morning, one of these nights, and we had Misty. Now, I could fool anybody like the best of them, and she's pretty talented at it, but it was fairly easy to acknowledge that she's kind of putting on a little bit of a front on in terms of how much she truly cared. She said she did. You kind of see through that fake attitude a little bit. And sure enough, shortly there later, I would ask Missy to address certain things with my mother, one of which very specifically was she's coughing up a lot of stuff and she needs it sucked out. And she said, oh, you can just go in there and do it. She's sitting on her computer. I have no idea if she's working, if she's charting, and quite honestly, it doesn't really matter. I would have to assume with a fair assumption that what she's doing on the computer could probably wait while my mom's got a mouthful of junk that needs sucked out, let alone to have to explain to me that I can do it. That morning when I got there and something needed to be addressed, she's at the what I would call the coffee table with all the girls chit-chatting, laughing, having a good time, and you know, I had brought something to her attention that she needed addressed, and she's like, oh, okay, I'll be right there, and finishes up a few more conversations with her friends. And then this happened later when I brought to her attention again that she needed it suctioned out. She's telling me that I can just go in there and do it. So those two things in itself just tipped me over the edge. Now, before I proceed with any other additional details about this, I wasn't present to witness Matt, but I am taking my dad and my sister's word for it that they felt uneasy with him because they felt he also was not very attentive. When Misty asked me to suction out my mom's mouth, told me I could just go do it, I was so super exhausted. It didn't really set in with me too well at that time until I got back home and I woke up the next day. I was like, wait a minute, she told me to do that. That's ridiculous. She's the nurse. I'm not being paid by this hospital to maintain my mother's well-being. She is. And so that finally came to blow, and I finally realized what really truly took place, and I comprehended it fully. And it would have been Holly on the next shift. I was very fortunate and very glad to see her. And I took her aside out of respect to let her know in advance, hey, look, here's some issues that I'm having. She asked me what it was. I told her. And she was very respectful. She was very thoughtful in her processing of what I had to share with her. And she said, look, I can make this happen, which was to ensure that Johnita, Misty, and Matt would no longer have access to my mother. They would no longer, my mom would not be in their care. So that was great. So I felt really confident at that point. I asked to speak with the charge nurse, which I assumed might have actually been you at the time, but I think you weren't there. So you were the name that was brought up, Tessie, but I don't think you were on. I don't think you were scheduled that
night. It was Saturday.
So she kind of gave me a few of the names, the chain of commands, etc. And so the night went on, and I stayed through the night into the next morning, and Cassandra, that's when I sought after someone, and you were who I found. So you're very familiar with the concerns that I addressed to you. And as a refresher, Tessie, since you weren't there, it was I explained to her a few of the things about Johnita, the attention that she obviously didn't care to show my mother. I explained how Misty told me that I could just go in there and suction out my mom's mouth. And so I'm realizing that soon, one of these days, very soon, my mom's going to be transferred to a different department. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this is ICU and it's supposed to be super critical, I would assume that everybody's on their A game and that they've got covered. Well, that's just not the case down there. So now, if we're going to move my mom out of what I consider to be the most critical place into a less critical place, I have to assume that that level of care and attention to detail and concern is going to drop even more drastically. If it's as good as it only gets down there based on what I experienced, then I have to assume that the next stage of my mom's stay is going to be subject to perhaps even a greater lack of care and attention to detail in terms of her well-being. So I brought it to your attention. I said, look, trying to follow chain of command so that when it gets transferred up the hill, that wherever she goes, they're going to know, hey, we want her taken care of, we want her maintained, we want her comfort level managed, we don't want any laziness, we want some urgency behind taking, you know, getting her taken care of. This did not happen. K-9 Okay, so I'm going to share a little bit of the remainder of the story that may or may not have anything to do with you because it's now up here on this floor. And forgive me if I'm leaving out any details with the ICU. I've got some of these other notes notated that it's not fresh in my mind at this moment. But we brought up here that very first night, and I stayed with her. I had a couple of nurses, Shalisha and Nicole was her assistant. Both seemed very great. As the first night I experienced, my mom was able to go to the bathroom. They positioned her on the E-400 and toted her into the room, managed to go, brought her back to the bed. Took several hours, but finally got that managed. And I'd sit in the room with her all night, and 3 to maybe 5 or more hours had passed, and I looked down and said, oh man, her oxygen's on the floor. Now, I just came out of ICU. I had a lot of feedback, wonderful feedback on why the oxygen level is important. I know it started maybe at 6, dropped down to 5, tried it at 4, and it fluctuated from 3 to 4 between the respiratory therapist and the nurse. So I just assumed that this was really critical and important to her health and her healing. And I'm seeing that on the floor. I'm like, oh my God. So somebody didn't put that back on her, and I wasn't... I don't have the experience to truly comprehend, hey, I need to pay attention to this, pay attention to that, like a trained and licensed nurse would have. So I see it sitting there, and it had been such a long time, so I instantly came out here and told them about it, and Nicole instantly helped me. She apologized. She got her a fresh oxygen tube, if you want to call it that. Connected her back up, apologized some more, and at that point we were good. Came in the next day, and Nicole had gone, and it was Alicia who was assisting Shalisha, the nurse. And as soon as I arrived, I stopped and spoke with Cassie Epps, and I addressed some of these additional details yet once again, just like I did with you. Said, hey, look, this is what happened. This is what happened last night. I want her taken care of. I want her managed properly. I want her respected. I want people to care. She said, okay. Long story short, she sent this information up the chain, etc. Here we are today, which is technically tomorrow for me, because we were here last night. 2 days ago or a day ago, somewhere in there, my sister and my dad were here during the day. And it was Natasha, who was the nurse. Addison was her assistant. Assisted my mom in the bathroom. Addison wiped her. They both had gloves on. Assisted her back in the bed. And then without removing the gloves, Addison was getting my mom a drink, grabbed her cup, grabbed her straw with her gloves still attached, still on, that she had just used to wipe my mother, and dang near proceeded to give her a drink with it. Thank God my sister was there to stop her. Brought it to her attention and said, hey, look, you just wiped her wearing those gloves. Don't touch her straw and stick it in her mouth. I wasn't there to experience this. Again, similar to with Matt downstairs. I'm taking my sister's word for it, which I trust. Apparently, Addison, that's correct, had a little attitude with my sister after that. I think it kind of hurt her pride and kind of like she knows better than my sister kind of an attitude. So, that happened. I came in after understanding all that, and I brought it to Cassie F's attention, told her how things were going, what I expected, how I had already spoke with you, and addressed some of these other concerns. So, I stayed with her all night. Shalisha was her nurse. Alicia was her assistant. Everything seemed to go really well, really great. And to the best of my memory, I don't believe anything there was troubling to speak of. Except what seemed a little fuzzy in terms of the conversations and not quite understanding what my mom's medication was intended for, whether it was urinary tract or something else, but I think they may have gotten that cleared up. I think Shalisha admitted that she wasn't always, we don't always know what the patients need. It was confusing, but nonetheless, that's about the only issue I can recall. Today, Ashley, bear with me, Janelle, her assistant, seemed really terrific all day. It seemed they do a great job. I was really happy with them. Now, occupational therapist, some young, I would say she's 20-something, I don't know. She came in to assist my mom and asked her what she was doing. She said she's occupational therapy, help her get dressed, brush her teeth, things of that sort. I said, okay. And then another assistant who was not Janelle, because I believe Ashley and Janelle were tied up, another assistant came in to assist my mom going to the restroom. Both wearing gloves, great. Both sister going to the bathroom, great. Wiped her, got her up, both wearing the same gloves. Now, brought her into the room, put her up into the bed, and instantly, both of them started touching the things on the bed. Her call light, the thing that she's going to touch. The assistant grabbed her drink and her straw again, of all things, ironically, the same exact scenario. I was proceeding to get it, and I just stopped, said, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. You just were in the restroom with my mother wearing those gloves, assisting her go to the bathroom and wiping her and taking care of her. You need to change those gloves. You need to get rid of that cup, throw it away, get her a fresh one. Instant attitude. At this point, the attitude I could care less with, all I care about is my mother's well-being. So I care less if the young girl has an attitude over me calling her out on something. Shortly thereafter, that attitude existed, and the occupational therapist started to breed off of that and started to mimic that attitude a little bit more. The longer she stayed in the room, her attitude started slowly adjusting to the same pattern that the assistant aide did. So I was frustrated with that. What I skipped over, unfortunately, was when I switched from Shalisha and Nicole into the next morning with Natasha and Addison. There was a lab assistant who came through. And this may just be the icing on top of it all, I'm not certain, but this young lady was waiting for my mom to get repositioned after she was getting adjusted on the bed. She had on her gloves, had her tray of all her gear and blood and needles, etc. Starts rubbing down her face, scratching it, etc., like that. And she had a nose ring. I don't remember the girl's name. Am I keeping you from time? Okay. And so at this point, I'm super exhausted. I'm not really, I mean, I understand what's going on, and I can see this. And as my mom finally gets adjusted, she gets over to the bed, and I can see her wiping alcohol on her arm. I'm assuming this is alcohol, rubbing alcohol before they take draw blood. But she never did anything to her gloves that she had just used all over her face. And before I could even comprehend the reality of what's going on, she's rubbing my mom's arm, trying to get that vein or artery ready, whichever she was after, and then boom, sticks her. So those are the things that I've experienced that I can recall at this very moment without all of the notes and everything I have in front of me, but that's what I've gone through. So in a nutshell, I understand. I don't care what profession you're in. You're going to find people who don't care about what they do for a living. And that's really hard for anybody, whether it's management, ownership, to enforce the people that work for you to care about doing and performing. But it leaves no room for excuse, especially in the medical field, especially when things as concerning as someone in an ICU who needs constant attention, regular care, awareness that they may or may not be in a good spot. And even more so when someone needs attention to sanitary respect and safety concerns when you're needling somebody after you just scratch and rub your face all over and never sanitize that glove that you just destroyed all sanitary consideration. So these are the things that I've dealt with. I will say that I am embarrassed for this hospital from all levels that I've been at, and there's only two so far. I'm not surprised, but I am embarrassed for the hospital because sometimes when you have not quite as much responsibility, it almost breeds a little bit more laziness than if you had more to handle. Now, I wouldn't dare assume I know what it's like to maintain critical patients in ICU, whether it's one patient or two. And I'm sure there's a bunch of terrific nurses down there. In fact, I've experienced them, and they're outstanding, especially Holly. And don't let me forget Lindsay. Incredible. My two most, you need to duplicate them as much as possible. But I saw a lot of joking around. I saw a lot of gossiping. I saw a lot of lack of urgency in responding to what I'm bringing to their attention that my mother needs. I don't have experience with dealing with patients in pain. And you could maybe argue the fact that it's my mother, so I feel that it's a little bit more urgent. But I might disagree with that, because I feel anything you could do to help a patient in their comfort should maybe help towards that healing process. I don't know. I'm just a small-town country boy who has no education. But I would have to assume that it has some healing aspect to it, to a degree. But I was really disappointed and embarrassed for this hospital to see how lazy they were down there, downstairs. Now, I haven't been able to see as much here because I've been solely stuck in that room watching my mom like a hawk. But the stuff I saw downstairs, I couldn't believe it. And when it goes from day shift to night shift, it is a completely different atmosphere down there. I mean, you can sense the urgency in the day. And I don't know if that's because all the doctors are making their rounds and people are trying to be on their toes for that. But at night, man, it just drops. And to see them fussing around, joking about, talking about where they're going over the weekend, playing with the pretty flowers, playing on Facebook, watching videos, reading stuff online. If you've got the time and energy to focus on those things, could you not take an extra few seconds of your precious playtime and go focus it on the person laying in that bed? I feel so sorry for every single patient down there who didn't have the privilege of a family member being able to watch them as much as possible like my mother did. And even with that, having me there in place for that, she still didn't get the urgent attention that I would want, and I'm certain that neither one of the two of you would want if you were in the same position my mother was in. And I'm embarrassed for you, because to have that type of mentality in the profession that you've chosen, and that's another thing. I could deal with somebody not caring about their job for a day, and I can totally respect somebody who's just burnt the heck out. But if you're in that position, especially in something as critical as caring for a patient who may live or die, you better recheck your mentality and say, look, this is what I signed on for. I may not like wiping someone's tail end when they need to go to the bathroom, and I may not like giving them a bath, and I may not want to get up from this article I'm reading, but you know what? So what? That's what you signed up to do. If you don't want to do your job, don't come in. Don't show up. Period. Be responsible with yourself. Have a little respect for your profession and what I would assume to be required. Maybe even by law, I don't know. So all of those things are where we stand today. And I am scared to death to take eyes off my mother. I was worried, Cassandra, when I brought it to your attention, that I didn't want the same lackadaisical or lazy mentality that I experienced firsthand and brought to your attention to be transferred uphill into what I assumed to be a worse environment. And it ended up being a worse environment.
Can I say the sanitary?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Well, I just want you to know that when we spoke, I not only took it to charge nurses, I took it to the charge nurse up here. And so we had.
And who was that?
The charge nurse that day, I think, was Tessa.
So you, when I addressed you that morning, you instantly brought that attention to Tessa?
I was not charged.
What's Tessa's last name?
Listen.
No, I need to know because I have a...
I understand. Is that listen to what I have
Barsky?
To say first.
Is it Barsky?
So I don't know their last name. I don't hear last name.
Gotcha.
So what I here is what I did. Okay, you and I spoke. I was also taking care of two critical patients that day. Okay, they're my number one focus. Okay. So, after I'm done taking care of those two patients, I contact our charge nurse that day. And I explained everything that you and I talked about. And I wanted to make sure that our charge nurses communicated effectively with the charge nurses up here. Those charge nurses up here come down for a 4 o'clock meeting every day with us. So we are in constant communication about our patients.
The charge nurses on this floor come down to have a meeting with you? And
yes,
your
every
nurses.
Day. Every day, even at night, they come at 4 a.m.
Okay,
so we tried to maintain that communication. I am not here all the time. I have my own family. Unfortunately, if I could have just spearheaded all of this to make sure everything was perfect, then I would for you. But it's just not possible. It's not in mind. You know, it's not my way of doing things. So my only way and my only avenue was to make sure that we were in communication with the needs that you guys had, with the experience that you had so far. And I was really trying to set you up for success up here, not for failure. I came from medical surgical floor.
Okay, so let me interrupt you.
I came to the ICU, so I know exactly what these nurses do every single day. And that's what I was trying to explain to you.
So when you explained to me that I need to be prepared for a little more lack in care and attention.
That is not what I said.
Well, you told me that I need to be prepared that my mother's not going to see as much attention up there as she does downstairs.
I'm saying that up here, the ratios are greater. The acuity of patients is less.
But you specifically said you need to be aware that she's not going to receive as much attention up there as she does downstairs.
No. What I'm saying is that I don't have a glass door sitting in front of me where I can see you at all times. You're taking what I'm saying out of context.
That's not true.
I'm trying to prepare you for what up here. Did I not explain? The rooms are private. They have doors. These nurses are helping five or six other patients.
After you explained what I shared with you, it was at that point that I said, I don't care. I want to ensure that her care is provided for and implemented.
And that's what I intended to do. Okay? Okay. But I can't single-handedly manage that for you. What I did is I developed resources within our Cox Health system, and that's what I employed. Now, that was a failure on your part. You found things since being up here that have not met your expectations. I 100% agree with you. And I'm not saying that...
What is a failure on my part?
It was a failure for you to experience that.
Yes.
Oh, it was your failure. Okay. I misunderstood.
Yes. Student. What I'm saying is, like, you have experienced failures in care here. If I could prevent all of those from every single department in this Cox Health system, then I would love to do that. But I can't do that. So I did everything in my power to make sure that there was clear communication between our units and our floors about what you've experienced.
So you told Tessa after I spoke with you when you had the opportunity, you told your charge nurse.
And their charge nurse with our house supervisor every day at 4 o'clock.
Who was your charge nurse at the time that you spoke with?
On Saturday, that was Mindy.
What's her last name?
Grant.
Mm-hmm.
And she took it to our 4 o'clock meeting with our house supervisor and Nate. And I believe it was Tessa. She in charge up here.
She took it to a meeting with Nate?
Mm-hmm. Yep, they do a staff meeting every day.
What's Nate's name? Last name?
I don't know what Nate's last name. He's a house supervisor.
The house supervisor.
Mm-hmm. He's our next point of contact as far as administratively on any evening or weekend.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you sharing that with me and hearing me on what I had to say. So.
Well, I want you to know that I totally agree with you, 100% agree with you, and we have addressed it with our staff. Can I promise that, like you said, I won't get nurses in here that don't act like that? I can't. All I can do is encourage them and tell them this is what my expectation is. Mm-hmm. And without people like you to tell me that that's not what's happening, then I don't know. And I can't address it. So I appreciate the fact that you're telling me this, because a lot of people don't tell us this. You know, they're not that specific on the kind of care they receive that they want different, mm-hmm. and that we're not caring for your loved one. So I don't always get that. So I do appreciate that from you, and I appreciate your honesty, because I can't do anything with it. But I'll let you know, we have addressed it with those individuals. And
I will say this. I would be, and I've shared this with Shannon and Katie, I would be scared to death to let... And don't get me wrong, I'm not vindictive enough to wish anyone ill harm or loss of job. But in this industry, in this profession, when it comes to caring for people who are life or death in some cases, I'd be scared to death to have Johnita. I would be scared to death. I would. It kind of goes back to my earlier example. If you've done something for 20 plus years and you know, I could see how you can get burned out on it. I could see also how you can get confident in your own so-called assumption of abilities in terms of I do well for my patients, I only need to do this and do that, and I can manage my time, and I don't care. She's missing it. She's lost her understanding, if it ever existed in the first place, of some extra things that patient requires of it, and she's not getting it from me. So.
I agree. Also, you know, if you ever want to talk to us about anything that's going on, definitely do what you did today and let them know that you want to.
You know, and I feel so awkward having to go down this road, because all I care about is my mom getting better and maintained and cared for. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to ask, you know, is there anything different I should have been doing? You know, if I notice that somebody's obviously lazy and not attentive, if someone's telling me that I need to go do something for my mom instead of them doing it, and when I see these sanitary issues and the safety issues with the dirty needles and all that, I mean, I can't comprehend that I'm looking at it incorrectly. I mean, it seems like what I've chosen to spoke up about is correct. What I'm disappointed in is we're now on what, that was what, roughly around Saturday, was today?
Tuesday morning.
You know, so we're several days past when I addressed it affirmatively, and it's still existing. And while you say, you shared with me that you've passed it up the chain of command through your, you know, charge nurse, et cetera, you know, I've got Katie and Shannon telling me that they don't know anything about it.
Katie and Shannon may not, they don't work the floor. They're never on the floor, but they are the management on this unit, so I would hope that they would know about it like I knew about it.
So I'm scared to death of the care she's going to get. You know, and I think, you know, from a, I'm sure the medication, the type of equipment that she's required to have on her person, I'm sure all that's adequate, but I'm scared of the sanitary aspect. I'm scared of the safety concerns, especially when it comes to dirty needles and things of that sort. I'm worried about my mother, so taking eyes off her is not an option because I can't trust anyone. I've been barking about this and barking about it and trying to ensure that, hey, in case you don't know, I'm a fairly smart guy, and if it's this way down here, I got an assumption it's going to be pretty crummy up there. Help me out. Make them aware that we're not dropping the ball here. Well, it's happened, and it consistently happens. So, I mean, I want my mom to receive all the care she requires, and I certainly want her to get better, but I sure as hell don't want to see her get harmed as a result of trying to receive the care she's supposed to be receiving. Is there any recommendation or advice you can provide me with that will help to ensure that I can maintain that for my mother?
All I can do is go talk to Shannon, which I know you've already spoken to her. I'm pretty certain at this point she's going to make sure that the people who take care of your mother are those that care and are safe and are, you know, doing the right thing. I'm pretty certain she's going to go in there and look at the schedule and say, I want this person taking care of his mother, this person taking care of his mother.
We have
certain
an idea
she's doing that.
What nurses, like...
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
We have an idea of which nurses can seem to be more compassionate than others.
Right.
There are some that are better communicators.
There are some what?
There are better communicators, some that are more compassionate to patients, and we can pre-schedule them to certain rooms for care. Now, I'm not certain that's what Shannon can do up here, and I'll talk to her about that. I'm pretty sure that's what she's going to do. That's probably the best that I can do at this point up here. And I'll let my director know the things that are occurring for sure, and then she has routes she can go.
Okay. You know, I know my dad, obviously, and my sister are a part of all of this. If anything needs to be addressed, please bring it to my attention first.
Okay.
If that's even something that needs to come up. So.
Okay. I can't do it. I appreciate you sitting down and telling me the whole thing over again. I do. And just like I said, we'll do everything we can.
Okay. All right.